Hey everybody, I'm Dave Sandell.
And I'm Caleb Gardner.
And this is the Best Album 4 podcast, a podcast where we talk about the best album for making a Christmas mixtape. And we are joined today by our friend Hannah Kim. Hannah, I'm so glad you're here. It's so fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks, guys.
So Hannah, I assume that you're here today because you are an expert in mixtapes and you're going to help us with the format.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm an expert, but I do have a long history with mixtapes. So my first girlfriend in high school, part of the reason I was attracted to her is that she worked at a record store and was exposed to all kinds of music that I otherwise would have never had exposure to. And she made me my first mix, well, I guess they were CDs, mix CDs. And so that was something that I was immediately attracted to and drawn to the idea of, and then borrowed as I went on to future, in my single days, future potential girlfriends, imagining that if I could make the perfect mixtape with the cool, basically in the same way. Like I wanted to repeat the way that I was attracted to this girl by making a mixtape that would make me attractive enough to whatever prospective person I was.
Incredibly relatable. Yes. Incredibly relatable. You were in good company, my friend. Dave, you have to have done this too. I know I did.
Well, the problem is that I had exactly one girlfriend in high school. And
well, I guess we know whose mixtapes weren't very good.
I didn't make that girl a mixtape, and she dumped me shortly after. So that was cool.
I think we can blame that almost exclusively on the quality of those mixtapes, Dave.
That's right. It's high stakes. It can go really well or really poorly.
I had been practicing for a long time. I had made several mixtapes like on my own, just like, you know, recordings off the radio, recording CDs onto like tapes. And I thought I had enough practice that it was going to be smooth sailing. So we're going to go deep today on the strategy of mixtapes. But before we do, it's Christmas season. We had our big Christmas episode last week. Caleb revealed that he is Ebenezer Gardner. And Caleb Scrooge? Which one sounds better? Caleb Scrooge.
I was like, because everyone famously knows Scrooge by his first name.
Anyway, so I am subjecting Caleb to multiple weeks of Christmas talk on our podcast. And so this week we are making a mixtape because I wanted to talk about songs and not just albums, especially near Christmas season. I can name like three albums that I actually care about, but I can name like millions of songs that I have some relationship to.
Yeah, 100%.
So today we are going to get heavily into the individual songs. We're going to come up with a mixtape that we're going to share with you all on Apple Music and Spotify. And Hannah, I'm curious, you know, Caleb has certain views about Christmas that are a bummer. Where does Christmas sit for you? Are you pro Christmas?
Okay, hold on. I am very like indignant about how that was phrased and the accusatory way that was brought in. Like I'm anti-Christmas. Come on.
So I listened to the pod last week. You did come off as anti-Christmas. So if I put you two on a spectrum of, you know, whatever we want to call where Caleb was and where Dave is, I am firmly, if not more, on the end of Christmas lover, like Christmas embracer of all things Christmas. So I would say I am a lover of all things Christmas, which you will see reflected in kind of how I talk about it all. But pretty much everything about the season, the music, the traditions, everything about it, I love.
All right. Well, I guess we know where you land. I would just, again, like to categorize myself as someone who does not particularly enjoy Christmas music, not the season. It's not about the season. It's about the repetition of the same songs over and over again.
Right. And not the consumerism and the stress about getting your kids that you brought up last week. And also the eight other things you brought up that you hated about Christmas.
It's in the mix, but, you know, it's not doesn't mean that I hate the holiday.
I had a moment of self-reflection listening to kind of the stress part of Christmas that is affecting Caleb's experience of Christmas that made me think, am I putting too much of that on my wife? Because I relate to some of that, but not a lot. But I'm like, somebody's doing all that. So it is perhaps that I am not carrying my weights.
Maybe that is it. I think that's a really good point, Hannah. Maybe I am just more enlightened and more, you know, participatory. There's not a weaponized ignorance. There's no weaponized ignorance when it comes to Christmas in this household. We're equal partners. I'm saying that all knowing my wife's going to listen to this and be like, bullshit. Like, that is not the case. Anyway, again, don't hate the season. Just, I think you know what it is. I'm more honest. That's what it is. I'm more honest about the good and the bad. And I don't come with the, you know, rose colored glasses and nostalgia about a season that is actually very difficult for a lot of people. That's what it is.
Okay, fair enough. So Caleb is pro Christmas. And I'm so happy we're doing this mixtape with you now, because I thought we're going to have to call it like two Santas and a Scrooge. But apparently we can go with two and a half Santas.
Two and a half Santas. I think that works. I think that works.
All right. Let's talk about the what we're actually going to do here today, because I think we're going to be able to talk about mixtapes in full in just a few minutes here. So during our time together today, we're essentially going to play a game that I've called Let's Make a Mixtape. And here are the rules. By the end of this podcast, we will have collaboratively created a mixtape, which will be 18 songs long. 18 songs means that we'll each get to pick 6 songs to put on the mixtape. But we're going to turn it into some sort of competitive game, in the sense that you get to not only pick songs to put on the mixtape, but when it's your turn, you get to choose where in the order of the mixtape you're going to put your song. So if you really want to grab side B track 1, that means nobody else gets to put it on side B track 1. And we're going to be, you know, doing this over in a Google Doc that hopefully you guys both have pulled up. So by the end of it, we'll have this two-sided mixtape. Of course, it's going to be a playlist. It's 18 songs. What are you going to do? This is a podcast aimed squarely at kids in the 90s. And those of us in the 90s remember two-sided mixtapes. And so that's what the spirit of that will carry on. When it's your turn, you pick a song, you pick the order, and then that song is off the board. And also that performer is off the board. So two of us cannot pick It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. Only one of us can pick that. And the performer that we attach to it cannot be picked multiple times either. So for all you Michael Bublé heads, only one Michael Bublé song can possibly make it on this mixtape. So don't come at us that it's not 18 straight Bublé Christmas songs.
You just made the Bublaniacs just so sad.
The Bublaniacs are a whole tribe, man. Don't make them angry. So, of course, as the game goes along, we're going to want to be thoughtful. So this is where the collaborative nature of this comes in. We want to be thoughtful about, you know, the flow of one song into another. So we'll do our best to kind of describe the song that we're picking so we can get a sense of what songs might exist around that, which means that there might just not be room for some of your favorite songs by the end of this thing, because there's just nowhere on this mixtape that it would possibly fit. So we have to really think about what it means to make a mixtape. And we're going to do a snake draft, which for people who haven't spent too many hours of their life playing fantasy football, simply means that we're each going to pick one song. So we'll go 1, 2, 3. And then the person who picks third will get to pick the next one as well. So it'll reverse order in the next round. So it'll be 3, 2, 1, and then 1, 2, 3, and then 3, 2, 1 until we finished. So the people who are drafting first and third will often be making 2 picks in a row. And the person who's drafting second will be kind of right in the middle of those. But by the end, we'll all have 6 songs on the tape. And in a minute, I'm going to pull up the random draft order generator on the internet and figure out who's going first. But before we do that, what else did we say before we kick off here? Do you guys have any rule clarifications? Anything we need to note?
I have one rule clarification, or maybe it's approach clarification. So, am I picking the 6 songs for my picks? Am I picking the 6 songs that I most want to ensure are on a mixtape? Or am I specifically trying to choose songs that I feel like will blend with the choices that we've already made?
I think it has to be a mix of both. So I would say your first job is to pick your favorite songs, like the songs that you want to have on a mixtape. Whether those are actually your 6 favorites or just 6 songs that are kind of random that you want people to get turned on to, whatever that is. But then as the game goes along, you know, you'll have to kind of think about, does a really crazy Mannheim Steamroller version of this song really fit next to Norah Jones quietly crooning? Does those songs fit next to each other? And how do they play nicely? I think the other thing that you have to think about is, this is where we can probably talk about what is the strategy behind a mixtape. Like, is this song the right song to kick off a mixtape? If you're going side A, track 1, you got to be sure that your song is the right song to kick this whole thing off. So that feels like a lot of pressure. I imagine that would go first. Like maybe the overall number one pick would end up being the very first song on the playlist. But I actually am now wondering, like, do we back off of that a little bit? Or do I back off of that a little bit? Because I don't want the pressure I'm thinking the first song.
You're setting the whole tone.
This is like choosing tails when, or choosing to receive when you win the top twink off. That's right. Is that what
yeah. Does that make sense? Is that?
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners are way more confused than Caleb is right now. So
we're aiming for an actual good quality mixtape at the end of the day, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. But filled with things that are representative of each of us.
Don't throw some Rob Zombie in here for spite.
Although I think I am all about, so I guess my other perspective in general, you will see reflected in my choices, is in my unabashed love for Christmas and Christmas season, is like the more schmaltz and sentimentality, the better, is my general viewpoint. My general read of you two is not so much the case. So we may have some challenges of how to blend in some of my...
Maybe that'll make it for a good mixtape.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to be...
It'll be a variety.
Maybe Hannah just takes the last six songs of the whole project.
Yeah, exactly. Save it for the B-sides.
But then it'll be the most disruptive.
That's right. We'll just publish Caleb and I's mixtape and do a Hannah on a B-side. Yeah. Would you say that it is most advantageous to go first, second, or third? What's your theory?
I mean, I already know what the right answer to side one, track one is. Nice. I'm gonna jump right in there if given the chance, Dave.
Okay, fair enough. How do you? Well, I guess we can kind of go through this as we make our picks, like what songs go where. I have a whole. Mm-hmm. I think I talked about this on a previous podcast. I have a whole new theory about what the last song on any mixtape should be. So we're gonna get to go into all of that, which I'm excited about. So I guess let's go ahead and figure out this draft order. I'm gonna hit this button and see what it comes up with. Picking first will be Caleb. Picking second will be me, and picking third and fourth then is Hannah. So Hannah, you'll have two picks, kicking off, doing the end of the first round and kicking off the beginning of the second round. So it'll go Caleb, Dave, Hannah. All right, Caleb, do you want to get us started?
All right, with my number one overall pick, Dave, Hannah, I am choosing to put in the number one spot on side A. Cool by Louis Armstrong.
Somebody's gonna make a happy trip tonight while the moon is bright.
And I will give you my reasoning for this. One, it's a great song. Two, it's a happy song. And I know there's a lot of happy Christmas music, but this is like happy and it's kind of jazzy and it's got a cool beat and it's a little unexpected. It's not like so oversaturated during the Christmas season, but it's also recognizable, you know? It's got like both the nostalgia, but also not like, oh my God, this again. And, you know, Louis Armstrong is classic. Like everything he does is classics. It's a fun way to kick off a playlist, but it is also is a great song for my Christmas heads, you know, who are just like, I need my Christmas classics fix right away.
So I do not know this song, so I'm just going to take a quick second since it's the first overall pick. I feel like I have a sense of Louis Armstrong's Christmas music, and somehow Cool Yule has completely passed me by. Hannah, do you know the song?
I did not know it on name. I think when we listen to the little snippet, I recognize it when I hear it.
I'm so satisfied that I came out the gate with a song neither of you know for something like this, where it's like, there's so much that is so top of mind for all of us. So I'm even more convinced this was the right pick.
You and I are going to be arch nemesis of the Christmas song selection.
Hannah's going on top 10 hits. He just did a Google search for 10 most popular Christmas songs. Yeah, that's cool. I like kicking it off with something fun, a little more classic. This is good,
right? It's a great vibe for the start of the playlist, for sure.
All right, so that means I'm up next. So interesting. I need to. Well, if I want to pick track two, then I gotta play off of Cool Yule at least a little bit.
Right, but you don't have to, right? Like that's the idea. You can kind of drop whatever you want anywhere in here.
I don't. I can go anywhere I want to. I think that I'm going to. So listeners last week heard me say that my favorite Christmas song is the Darlene Love version of Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, the Phil Spector Christmas Gift for You album, and I am going to go ahead and pick that. I feel like this song for me is the one that gets me most into the Christmas season. Like, I'll kind of not be feeling it, but then as soon as Darlene Love comes on, I'm all in. Even if that's like in the middle of Target, like no matter where it comes on, I'm suddenly so happy that it's Christmas season.
Which is usually where we hear it.
Yeah, that's right. And on every Christmas movie ever made, and on David Letterman every year. I think I'm going to stick it at track two. I think it's going to be a great, like, that blast of sound, that horn at the beginning, right? That's going to be a great, like, let's get it going here. Let's bring it up a little bit. Cool Yule got us in, kind of swinging, and now we're going for it all the way up. So I'm sticking that at track two.
I think it works. I could see that.
I love that song. I honestly feel like that song could go anywhere. It's so good.
That song is, it is the one. It is the chosen song.
This is good. I feel like the first couple of songs here are like recognizable, but also not overplayed. So I'm really interested to see what Hannah comes in terms of just being like, what is the top 40 hit that you are going to throw at number three on it?
I mean, I just want to know, is he going to draft Mariah Carey today or not?
Oh, she's coming. If you guys don't take her, she's coming somewhere.
There's no way Mariah doesn't end up here somewhere, for sure.
She's on my long list. She's not on my short list. All right, Hannah, you are up with two picks.
Well, so with two picks, I have one song that I think will be more in the vein of fitting with what we've got so far, but let's just go ahead and create the disruption of dropping the most unlike what I imagine was on your two lists, but is a song that I genuinely, genuinely love, and that is Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. I don't want to miss out on the holiday, but I can't stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be. I love this song. I really, really love it. Like, it is something that I have a genuine sentimentality for. And I have like a strict rule about Christmas music where I won't play it except for from like Thanksgiving until New Year's. Like, I hold myself back even if I want to. And one of the first listens, I'm eager as soon as Thanksgiving is over, is Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. It is insanely likable.
This might be the only time Justin Bieber comes up on our podcast forever.
Yeah, 100%. So you do keep yourself from listening to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving.
I do. Because part of it to me is like, what keeps it special is if I don't just sort of like allow it to be anything. Like, it's the specialness associated with the season.
I appreciate that because I feel like one of the reasons why I have such a hard time with Christmas is because it creeps earlier and earlier every year. Yes. And then it's like, by the time you get to Christmas, that also doesn't surprise, it like surprises me, but it doesn't, given that I think once you told me that you keep your clothes on a rotating schedule so that you don't ever wear the same thing until you've given the thing in the back of your closet a wear. It feels very much like that.
Yes, I like to systematize. I like to make the world into a fair place through my mental rules. Yes.
I love that.
It's in that genre.
It is.
So where does Justin Bieber fit on our collective mixtape?
Yeah.
So what I imagine will be true about the end result of this mixtape is that this will be sort of a light, like almost empty calorie consumption somewhere within this. Where does that type of thing best fit? I lean on you two mixtape connoisseurs as to where that should go.
I mean, I don't know that that's going to fit anywhere,
might be
Dave.
Good at track 19? Track 19 sound good?
bonus track.
Well, the question is, does it go kind of in the middle of side two? Or is this a side one track? Like, when you make your mixtapes, is side one all bangers? Like, does side one have to be like just hit after hit after hit, and then side two is kind of more laid back? Or is it better to kind of have like some cool stuff in the middle, you know, that can be a little more low key and not like explode your brain?
Good question. I think in my head, it's not so much about what's on side one, side two versus the like flow of each side, if that makes sense. Like, I kind of wanted to come in banging and then like end kind of on a retrospective, slower note, I guess.
Hmm.
Where in that does Justin Bieber fit? The messy middle, maybe? messy middle? Like, it feels like, is it not true that the first, the like song that opens and the song that closes are the most important? That's how I've always thought about it. You both approach it like that?
I think that the first three or four tracks all have incredible importance on mixtapes. Like, I think that you are presenting somebody a piece of yourself in those first three or four tracks. And not until after that are you allowed to get like kind of weird with it. Like, you have to go with, this defines me, this is part of my identity in some meaningful way in those first four tracks, because that's the ones they're guaranteed to listen to. Like, they might shut the whole thing off after that. I think like track three and track four, like track four is kind of where I think you put the first big, huge anthemic song. You know, like if I was making like a rock mixtape, I would wait till track four before I put Stairway on or something like that, you know? So I actually think that the first four tracks are really important. The last track on side two, of course, really important. Side two, I actually have a soft spot for almost every one of these. I'm like, every time somebody picks them, I'm like, oh, I wanted to pick that. So I don't know. Believers, what is this? Mistletoe? This seems like a kind of mid side two track, but I don't know.
I mean, remember when Sydney told us that track five was always an important spot on Taylor Swift tracks? Maybe this is a
confessional.
We just found our track five.
Oh, we honor that. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, Hannah, if this is your out of the gate number one, I think you got to give it a place of importance.
I like the connection of the Believers to the Swifties. Let's go with track five, side one.
Right.
That gets us out of the definitive, I'm telling you who I am, first four tracks.
Yeah.
And now I'm just having a little fun with it, getting into track five.
I'm into it. All right. We are on track for this to be a 3-hour episode. So let's go ahead and get to pick number four.
All right. So my next one, I'll choose something that's a little bit more in line with the rest. So I'm going to choose Sufjan. And the track from Sufjan I'm choosing is O Come, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And
I'm so mad.
This is a little bit strategic with assumptions that Sufjan would not make it back to me. So I wanted to get him relatively early. And then as far as the track goes, this is one both in terms of just being a beautiful song, but also it has meaning for me as somebody who follows in the Christian faith tradition of something that, especially for Christmas, I think beautifully matches kind of the pathos as well as the sort of hope and the sort of sparse version that Sufjan does, I think really delivers that well. So I just think this is a soaringly beautiful song. I really love this version.
Nice.
I was originally imagining, so a song like this, I think of as like around a track six, side one, but I don't know about putting it next to.
Yeah, you remember that one, Mistletoe.
Yeah. Once we landed Mistletoe, I'm not sure now that I would put it in that same spot.
Wait, is this your favorite version of O Come, Emmanuel?
I think it is. I think it is.
I was obviously had a few songs from this album too, and I was debating about which ones because I actually really love this album. So I was like, which ones would I want to pull from?
Yeah. Yes, there were
I had two that I was thinking about, and neither of them were this ones. All right, you stole it. You stole Sufjan.
You ruined it.
What, Caleb? What? Just now that we're talking about Sufjan. I think Star of Wonder and Winter Solstice were the ones I was thinking about. What were the ones you were thinking about?
Yeah, I was thinking about Lo, How a Rose Are Blooming, weirdly. It's kind of an off-the-beaten-track song that not a lot of people know. And I don't know, he just does this like kind of weird stripped-down version of it that I like.
So for me, I think O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, if it's stripped down, that feels like we need to have a whole section, you know, where that can kind of live and breathe, right? Yeah. Like that can like lead that section. So the question is like, well, I guess, Anna, you get to decide like where in this mix do we kind of begin that section?
So now I'm imagining maybe it's more of a side two, but maybe around a similar spot. Like maybe it's the second half of side two that I imagine we're living in a little bit more stripped down, slowing it down a bit. Yeah, like maybe track six, side two.
So it's coming in. We're coming in for a gentle landing is what you're saying.
Yes.
All right. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Okay. Well, now I have to kind of rethink. Is there anything on my list that I'm worried somebody else is going to... I was going to like go for one of my very favorite songs next, but there's no way you guys are going to choose it, and there's no way it's going to move off the board. So,
Well,
it's only because they wrote it. It's one person that has written this and performed it. type of song.
Dave picked some like obscure DJ cozy Christmas song that no one's ever heard of.
Listen, if that existed, I'd be so into it. Okay, so there's a new Robert Glasper album that just came out this year. Robert Glasper, if you don't know, is a pianist, a jazz artist who has experimented over the last several years with sort of melding hip hop and R&B and different elements of popular music with jazz. And it's always really interesting, often really cool. And he just put out a Christmas record. And there's a song on the very first song on that record, maybe it's the second song after a little intro, has this like super vibey version of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen and Carol of the Bells kind of mixed together. Mm-hmm. And Cynthia Erivo. Do you know Cynthia Erivo, the actress and the singer? She sang the vocals on it, and it's really cool. And I think I want to kick off side two with Robert Glasper's version of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen and Carol of the Bells medley. And I am therefore taking two songs off the board with my pick.
It's good value.
Is that allowed?
I'm not even like going to run it by you guys. I'm just like, yeah, this is happening. Everybody's completely quiet. I've stunned you. I don't know what just happened here.
I mean, you cheated is what happened. I mean, you can't pick two songs in one.
I'm going to choose a Pentatonix medley where they cover like six songs.
That would make this more interesting. Well, do you think I shouldn't be allowed to pick this?
No, it's fine. I mean, it's not really the season for cheating, but it's fine. Do I get to go to my pick now?
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, everybody. Dave here. Going to jump in here a couple times during the podcast to tell you about some things we discovered after we recorded. The first is that this album by Robert Glasper in December is only available on Apple Music, which is great if you have Apple Music, and a bummer if you don't. So on the final playlist for Spotify, we will sub in a different song. So back to the show.
All right. So with my next pick, I am going to pick the song Christmas Song. That's a weird way to say that. By Phoebe Bridgers.
Winter's so dry, and the dirt road's so dusty. At the lightest fall of rain.
And I think now that we've got a vibe set for the side two second half, I'm gonna stick it somewhere around there. Maybe 14 or 16. Like,
okay.
Before or after O Come Emmanuel? What do you think?
This is a profoundly sad version of the Christmas song.
Well, why do you think I'm sticking it next to this like stripped down O Come Emmanuel?
Nat King Cole, this is not. I'm super mad that Nat King Cole's Christmas song is not going to be on our mixtape.
I was also, as the traditionalist of the three of us, Nat King Cole was on mine. But I could dig this.
All right, so The question is, are you putting that before Sufjan or after Sufjan?
I think I'm going to put it after. I still feel like we need at least two tracks to kind of like bring it home and not end on like a sad version of this song.
Like a little bit hopeful at the end.
Yeah, but two still feels like we can bring it home.
Okay, I'm into it. Good pick. All right, Dave here again. So as you Phoebe Bridgers mega fans will know, the song that we are talking about is not the same as the Christmas song that Nat King Cole made so famous. We all botched that one. And as a result, I am making the executive decision to sub in a different song on the final playlist, especially considering the whole Robert Glasper fiasco. All right, last interruption, back to the show. All right, Caleb, you have another pick.
Oh, right. Yeah. All right. You know what? Let's do Christmas and Hollis. You know it's got to get on here. Where am I going to put Christmas and Hollis? I mean, it's got to go on the first side because we definitely have an upbeat vibe so far on the first side. I think I might stick it after Mistletoe so that it has some redeeming qualities to the mixtape after you've heard that. You know Christmas and Hollis, right? Right?
I do. Of course. We got to give the listeners some confidence that we haven't lost their minds.
Saying.
That's amazing. we went hard on this song last week. Honda, we had a question, which was, is this the first rap song that most of America owned? And I was curious, was that true for you and your family? Did you guys have this compilation? Yeah.
We did. We definitely did. Although I don't know. So I was thinking about this when I was listening to your pod from last week. And I think the first rap song that like really resonated or meant something to me was Parents Just Don't Understand from Fresh Prince.
Oh, and DJ Jazzy Jeff. Yeah.
So like that was the one that I remember, like I want to memorize every lyric. I want to like figure out how to like rap this and like figure out the cadence. That was the one that like really took hold. This song was in the early, I would say, introduction to rap and sort of like, what is this and engagement? But Parents Just Understand was the real first love.
I feel like that was when rap was basically just like telling one long story. Yeah. You know, like maybe that was just a, you know, Will Smith's rapping style, but like that and then the intro to Fresh Prince, like was all just like some guy telling a story.
Right.
Simpler times. Yeah. Simpler times.
Okay, there is only one song left that I care about that I'm worried that you guys are gonna steal. And I'm debating between two versions of this song. So I'm gonna pick Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which might full stop be my favorite, like non-Christian-y Christmas song, more Santa-y Christmas song. And so I want to put this in that same mix with Sufjan and Phoebe. I'm choosing between the Cat Powers version and the Christina Perry version. I think I like the instrumentation on the Christina Perry version just a little bit more. So I'm going to go with Christina Perry.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be
They sound very similar. I would not be surprised if somebody thought one was the other and the other was the other. I first heard a version of this song on that Apple commercial, of all places, where Cat Power was. You know, like she was doing that. I was like, oh, I've never heard somebody play this stripped down before. It's just so beautiful in that way. And so I will put that.
Ooh, I'm interested to see where you drop this.
It's more hopeful than Phoebe, for sure. Uh-huh. Is it the second to last song on our whole project? It could be. It's really great.
Yeah, it feels like it could be.
I think it could be that or even the last song.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't argue with last.
Great ending song.
So here's my question about last song. So I heard somebody say recently, and by recently I mean sometime in the last 26 episodes worth of time, because I brought this up before, that the last song in an album, which is different than a mixtape, but the last song on an album should make you want to hit repeat on the album. And so oftentimes you don't want your like kind of biggest, most swelling, climactic song to be the last song, because oftentimes after that song, you're like spent and need a breath. And so you want to put something on behind it that is like a little easier to listen to and vibe with. It's going to make you want to just hit the whole thing over again. And I thought that was really fascinating as like a rule for mixtapes and a rule for albums. Does that sound right to you? Or do you feel like the last song should be the most stirring song on the record?
I feel really like I'm interesting. One of my favorite last songs on an album that like really affected me when I first heard it as a last song and it stayed with me is on Weezer's Pinkerton, ending with Butterfly. And so I really love the idea of ending with something that is poignant and beautiful, and like when it ends you like are comfortable just sitting in the silence of kind of having heard this beautiful thing. That has heavily influenced my idea of like last song.
All right, I
don't know, I'm torn about this because I'm like, now I'm thinking back, you've got me now looking back through albums that I love with that lens to see which ones do it, and I can see several that I love doing it intentionally the way that you said. And I can also see several doing it, leaving you like emotionally spent at the end. I mean, we just went through like Frightened Rabbit and talk about being left emotionally spent at the end of Midnight Organ Fight, right? And so to some extent, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And then to some extent, I'm like, I don't know. Is that like the TikTokification of our albums where it's like, it's got a repeat, you know what I mean? Like just, I don't know. I think right now we have agency over doing it whatever way we choose, because it's our mixtape. damn it.
So the question is, are we going to have another song that bests this song? And my answer is no. I'm putting it last on our mixtape.
I like it.
I respect that decision.
So we'll have to find something that bridges it a little bit. But Christina Perry, going to anchor our mix. All right, that's my pick. Hannah, you got two in a row.
All right. So let's go. Well, we've already mentioned her. We got to get her on here. Let's bring in the queen, Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas. The one thing I will say about this song is, like, not even arguably, it is the most overplayed Christmas song. But if you really sit and listen to it without sort of like going into this is overplayed cliche mode and just listen to it for what it is perfect. It is the perfect Christmas song. It is overplayed and beloved for a reason. I feel like we can't not have it on here, or at least I feel that. I'm sure you two could easily not have it on here, but I feel like it needs to be here.
I just want to clarify. I also love this song. I agree with you that it is overplayed, but this is one of the ones where it's just like you can't not love it. Like you can't not hear those opening notes and want to sing along.
Also, it proved that we can still have great Christmas music, like new songs. Like this was the first new song I can remember really caring about kind of post my childhood. I thought every Christmas song had been written and all the new ones kind of stunk. Like when everybody tried to do a new Christmas song, they're kind of, you know, like trombone soundy songs. Like, so this song like renewed my faith in, oh, there's more to come. The best of Christmas is not behind us.
I totally agree. Because it did, because I feel like a lot of Christmas songs from artists now will either be like trying to sound like something that was older or something that just like is far too modern. It doesn't really fit for Christmas. And this somehow thread the needle of like feeling like it fits within Christmas music, but not just like a repeat of something else. So placement feels like this belongs somewhere on side one. How many slots do we have left on side one?
Five.
Quite a few. We still have five left.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to go.
I actually wonder if this is a good side two, track two song.
You think?
Because it does that same thing of like getting the energy going for side two, but maybe not. Maybe it goes side one. Yeah, maybe it goes side one.
Well, that is a good point, though, because we can't have side two be all low energy. Down. Like, it's got to have some energy in there.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Because I was kind of like thinking, are we pairing the kind of modern poppy stuff in the middle of side one? Like Mariah, Justin Bieber, Run DMC.
Yeah, where does it go in that trilogy, though? I don't know. Does it begin it or does it end it? I feel like it's got to be lower because everybody's heard it. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a... Nobody's going to be like, yeah, Mariah Carey.
Where does this fit in a way that's, like, welcomed and not the... It's probably impossible to surprise anybody with this, but, like, almost, like, anticipating... Like, you don't want to hold off too long. People are probably anticipating that this will come. Yeah, maybe it opens... Maybe it opens the sort of popular music section.
So four? I'd be up for four.
Yeah, maybe four.
Oh gosh, that's so early. Yeah, okay. Mariah Carey.
So just get fourth it out. Song in the but mixtape. It's like it's three songs in already. I mean, it's not that early.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You're right. There's so many judgments about this mixtape that we're doing together. For the 25 people are going to listen to.
Warm your hearts, people. Let the sugariness of Christmas wash over you.
All right, Hannah. So what is the second most popular Christmas song of all time that you're going to pick for the next one?
What Christmas Means to Me by Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah. Candles burning low. Lots of mistletoe.
So... Love
that
this song.
That might be the first song that I respect. Go for it. Go for it.
So, can't get cooler than Stevie Wonder.
Just kidding, Mariah.
We get the harmonica in here. And this song is so joyful. This is a very happy-making song for me. This one goes... Maybe this is the more upbeat part of side two.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. That, I mean, that works.
Do you want track 11?
Yeah.
Side two, track two?
Track 11.
All right. Let's do it. So it'll flow nicely out of Robert Glasper. That's a good pick. Good. I like it. For my next pick, I am going to go with another Motown classic. I'm trying to think through where this goes on the mixtape. I'm going to pick Otis Redding's Merry Christmas, Baby. Do you guys know this song?
Merry Christmas, baby. Shouldn't treat me nice.
Such a wonderful little chunk of funk. So... Otis, I kind of wanted to put it third. Does it fit third? Does it go after Stevie Wonder, maybe?
I love that we are approaching this with the seriousness of like a heart surgeon.
Listen, if we're not going to do this, then why are we doing it?
Even though we are all married, our potential next girlfriend rides on these songs being in the right order.
I mean, for Kayla and I, you know, we're trying to grow a podcast here. This is a present that we're giving everybody.
I think we lost listeners a long time ago, Dave. I don't know what you're talking
about.
You
don't think they're listening anymore? All right. I think they are. I think people are into this. I think you're wrong.
I know, okay, I always love to listen to people cook.
I'm telling you, this is interesting to people. Maybe not you, but people. I'm going to put this track three, side two.
I respect that. I'm getting excited about side two.
Side two is starting to shape up. All right. Caleb, you are up.
I think I'm going to go with Little Saint Nick by the Beach Boys.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told, and a real famous cat all dressed up in...
And I think I want to stick it in side one, track three, as a transition point, although I'm trying to think like of that. How Little Saint Nick would go into All I Want for Christmas Is You. Yeah. What do you think? Do you think that works in terms of like the transition? I feel like the first three work together. It's the transition from the like kind of older school songs into All I Want for Christmas Is You. Does that work?
How does Little Saint Nick end?
I feel like it ends with them going, run, run, reindeer. Do you remember that like little melody they do at the end?
Okay, like I think it can work as track three. I like it.
All right.
Hannah, any feedback here?
I feel like I'm creating difficulties with the All I Want for Christmas mistletoe pairing and how we work into it. So we just got to go for it. I feel like we just got to jump off the cliff and say, cross your fingers and hope.
We could have an interlude of these next few songs are brought to you by a podcast guest. Do not represent the views of Best Album 4.
We invited Hannah for a reason. He's official.
That's right. That's right.
It's canon.
Oh, what do I want to do? Okay, so I've got one more. Is this my last one? Do I have one more after this?
No. Oh, no, you have, you have one more after this.
So I've got two more. Ooh, yeah. Pressure's on. All right.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'm going to go with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee.
Singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Oh, that surprises me. That is I would not have saw that coming.
It is a very I know. It is a very conventional choice. I do appreciate that. But you know, I feel like it has a very special place in my heart. Mostly, not gonna lie, mostly because of the movie Home Alone.
Yes.
You know, yes. Like I feel like all of us who grew up with the movie Home Alone, that soundtrack is like the soundtrack of Christmas to us, and so. I'm going to throw Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, I think, somewhere at the end of side one, right? Because that doesn't fit into what we have in side two so far.
No, I think that's better side one. Yeah.
I don't think it ends it. So I'm going to go. I also feels weird to come after Christmas and Hall. So I'm going to throw it on track eight and then let you two figure out what goes on either side of it.
It's fair. I think it would work out of Run DMC because of the Home Alone connection. But I respect putting it in track eight.
Was Run DMC also in Home Alone?
No. I'm just saying, like, it's popular music, right?
Oh,
like,
this is I see what you're saying.
This is Christmas pop. Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, I'm not going to find another Christmas rap song that I'm going to put on any of these CDs today. So
fair. Yeah, fair.
All right.
That's back to you, Dave.
Maya? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is my second to last pick as well. I kind of have three songs left that I want to pick. So the truth is that Troy Andrews version of Oh Holy Night that I talked about last week from Studio 60 would be my pick here, but it's not on Apple Music or Spotify, so I'm not going to pick it. But if I could, I would probably put it at track 17. So I spent a lot of time this weekend listening to other brass versions of Oh Holy Night to try to find one that sort of approximated it. So I'm going to pick a version by the King's Brass and Tim Zimmerman, Oh Holy Night featuring Dan Miller off of their album Christmas, which doesn't quite have the heft of the Troy version. And it's not quite as soulful, but it is a beautiful Beautiful version, but a good rendition. So, and I'm going to go ahead and stick that at track 17 to kind of have something big and profound before we finish Quiet.
That's exactly where I was hoping you were going to pick it, I think, or put it. I think that makes a ton of sense.
And if anybody out there has ever heard a Christmas album that has anything like, there's a band called Buzz Brass that I like a great deal. They kind of made stuff that feels very moving, but unfortunately, I don't believe that they have a version of O Holy Night. All right, so that's my pick. Hana, you are up.
All right, so these are my last two, right?
Oh, that's right, so. Yeah. Coming in for a landing.
All right, so I'm going to go with definitely one traditional, and we'll see about the last one. So I think the traditional song I'm going to pick is Andy Williams' It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingling,
which is one of the classics that I love, and maybe the song that I think someone has said this earlier that like most gets you into the season. The description of everything in this song is all the things I want Christmas to be. I don't know how many of these things I actually do, but this is what I imagined in my mind. To like imagine all the things I want to do.
I don't know how many of those things anyone actually does.
Might be impossible. So here, I think this is 7 or 9 on side one, but I'm open to feedback on that because I don't think it fits on side two.
When I think of It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year, I think of Will Ferrell spinning on the Saturday Night Live sketch where he starts vomiting everywhere.
That's good.
Because you know what? Let me sing a song and then maybe we decide where these two go. Because
that's a good call.
We're down to enough slots. We got to be.
That's true.
Think about this strategically. So I think I am going to do another song that you will both hate.
and. Great disclaimer. Great preface.
I'm going to do nakedly, shamefully copy of Christmas, Baby Please Come Home in Kelly Clarkson's Underneath the Tree. Also think is a modern banger that I love. A lot of head waving here. It is very earnest, and her voice soars in the song. It is amazingly cool.
Fortunately, Dave has already chosen Christmas Baby Please Come Home.
No, this is like it in style and what she was trying to do. It is an entirely original, so you can't get me on your technicalities. Kelly Clarkson's.
It's the same words. It's the same words.
Oh my gosh. I will say, when Spotify did a little Wrapped session for our podcast, pop music was our listener's number one genre. I feel like we don't hit it enough. So
that's funny.
I guess this is a fine present to our wonderful listeners who have to deal with me picking Soundgarden every week.
Yeah, they have been dying for they've been dying for a break from your sad boy music.
Kelly Clarkson, definitely good pick for track 19.
It's got to be 7, right? Like, you're not going to end side one with Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yes, yeah, that's right. You can't do that. So, my goodness, what a travesty. Track 7, Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree. Okay, I'm into it. I love Hada with like every inch of my heart.
And then we've got to figure out what to do with It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Yeah. Boy, it's really, I feel like at this point, I want to know what the last two picks are.
So maybe we wait. Maybe we wait for your two. We do all three.
Yeah, but I feel like that's not the spirit of the game.
I mean, mine is Please Come Home for Christmas, parentheses, Winter Wonderland, parentheses, Do You Hear What I Hear? So if we want to place with that one first.
I think
slash this, Carol of the Bells. Sorry.
I think this is going to best fit after Otis Redding. But I don't know. What do you think, Caleb? Does it lead into O Come, O Come, Emmanuel?
I don't know. I think you can make an argument that it's a good ending of side one.
Yeah, no, that's fair. See, now I feel like the job Caleb and I have is to try to bridge the gaps here and figure out how to make this make sense.
I don't know what you are choosing, Dave, but what I am choosing, I don't feel like is a good side one ender.
Okay.
So well, I just want to put that out there.
I have to pick a good side one ender then.
Well, either that or we make side one ending be It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, which wouldn't be a great ending to a mixtape, but is a decent transition to a side two, I think. But what do you think?
Yeah, and I'm aware of, I am a little aware of, this obviously won't be released as a two-sided mixtape, but as a 18-song playlist. And so in that spirit, Andy Williams into this Robert Glasper kind of soulful, funky piece doesn't feel great. So I think I'd probably put Andy Williams either at 13 or 14. You track side two, track four or five. So the question is, is it the last thing you hear before Sufjan? Or is it the second to last thing you hear before Sufjan? Just Sufjan's going to be a real tonal shift. And we have to bridge the gap somehow, right?
Or is there a song? That's the
work, right? We can't just pick songs that we like, Hannah. We have to pick songs that were in the mixtape.
I asked for clarification at the beginning. And you told me songs I love.
Both. I said both.
Full stop.
Think about the mixtape. I said both.
Oh my God. This is so off the rails.
I'm not inviting you to the Easter mixtape episode.
Easter.
All right. Well, Andy.
13. It's 13. We're making an executive decision.
All right, it is 13.
And then you and I just have to live with our choices.
Oh my gosh. Well, you could choose to pick something that fits instead of just picking the song you want.
Well, you have the next choice. So I'm going to be forced into the last spot.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is, do I want to pick the last song on side one? Or do I want to pick?
I will say I've got two last ones that I wanted on here that, and one of those could be a pretty good side one ender.
I'm not going to be able to pick the song I was referencing up top that I'm not going to end up picking is this song called "Oh Light" by Gungor, which is kind of a full on worship song, but it is really gorgeous and pretty modern, and I really love it. And I was hoping to sneak it on here somewhere. I don't think it fits though in either of these spots. "Rocking Around the Christmas Tree" presents a challenge coming into the last song. I'm tempted to pick a Lindsey Stirling version of "Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy." You guys know Lindsey Stirling? She's like the violinist who does lots of like electronic beat stuff underneath her music.
DJ Cozy produced?
If only, my friend. If only. It's not.
Sorry, Hannah, you're new here. If I ever don't know what something is, I just assume it's produced by DJ Cozy.
How many times have you been right? At least some, right?
At least some, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to make, can I have a redo? I'm going to make our lives easier because there was another song that I have that I also really like that I think will help here.
Is that allowed?
What are you taking off?
So I would take off "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," despite my love for it, because I'm a team player and I'm playing by your rules. And I would add "Santa Claus is Coming to Town" by the Jackson 5, which fits in the Motown section much better.
It does, but I was hoping you were taking off Kelly. Okay, so
no,
let's see.
Kelly is saying
I think it's too late. I think you've made your pick.
Okay,
we have to live with Andy Williams.
You two work your magic. Make it work.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can. Okay, so what is left on my board? So this Lindsey Stirling song could work. It's kind of weird coming out of "Rocking Around the Christmas Tree," but. That's okay. Caleb, do you feel like yours could work? Do you have something in mind that could happen between Andy Williams and Sufjan?
Dave, I don't think there's a song in the world that could bridge the gap between Andy Williams and Sufjan.
Well, no, I think the song is John Lennon's "Happy Christmas, the War is Over." I think that's the song that bridges the gap. I just don't know if I love that song.
That is actually pretty good.
Like it's a good song for that space, but is it a good song for our inaugural Christmas playlist? Is kind of the thing that I'm fighting right now.
It's more like, would it be on your list or not?
Or I could just pick another Sufjan song and blow everything to hell. It's the most wonderful time of the year, followed by...
He's kidding, listeners. That's not allowed. That's not part of the rules.
So I was thinking about an India.re track. You feel like you have something for a side one ending that'll work okay?
I think so.
Okay, yes. I'm going to go ahead and pick. Should I pick India.re or should I pick John Lennon? Oh, it can't be Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Huh? It would have to be God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. She does a great version of that with Joe Sample.
That feels like it fits well with the Sufjan.
Yeah, that would bridge fine. Let's do that. Let's do India.re and Joe Sample's version of God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Because that's have you heard that album? That's a great album as far as a full stop front to back album for Christmas. Caleb, let's close this out.
Bring it home. Bring it home. And on the note of bringing it home, I'm going to end side one with Please Come Home for Christmas by James Brown.
This is a perfect song for this spot. I love this. This bridges Brenda Lee perfectly. This bridges Robert Glasper perfectly.
Oh my God.
This is a perfect song for this spot. Good pick, man. All right. So I'm going to, for the listeners, I'm going to go ahead and read these in order. So side one is Louis Armstrong's Cool Yule, followed by Darlene Love's Christmas Baby Please Come Home, The Beach Boys' Little Saint Nick, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, Justin Bieber's Mistletoe, DMC's Christmas in Hollis, Kelly Clarkson doing Underneath the Tree, Brenda Lee Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, James Brown's Please Come Home for Christmas. That's a solid 9 songs. That is a solid 8 songs and Kelly Clarkson. That is a solid 6 songs and Kelly Clarkson and Justin Bieber.
And Justin Bieber, exactly.
Those are the songs that everyone will be most happy hearing about that whole set.
That's fair. That's fair. Side two, Robert Glasper's medley of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Oh, I can't pick India.re. God bless it. Oh my goodness. Damn.
That's you're right. Oh no.
I broke my own rules. Nobody called me on it. Hold on. I totally forgot.
Guess John Lennon it is.
Okay, I can't live with myself. Let me just see if there's another decent song.
Why are you so anti-Lennon? Are you just like very Paul? Like you're in Paul?
I just feel like that song is so. I feel like it's played so much, and it's not actually like a very. I don't know. It's just. It just doesn't feel right to me.
You don't have affection for it. I can tell.
Let's go ahead and slot in Silent Night, where India.re was. It's still the India.re version. It features Brandy.
Silent night, holy night.
That'll be a nice fit there, even if it's not quite what I had in mind.
It works.
All right, good. We're running that back then. Side two, Robert Glasper's medley of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen and Carol the Bells. Stevie Wonder's What Christmas Means to Me. Otis Redding's Merry Christmas Baby. Andy Williams, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. India.re and Joe Sample featuring the legendary Brandy, Silent Night. Sufjan's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Phoebe Bridgers' Christmas Song, Old Holy Night. And then Christina Perry's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. This is a very successful mixtape. I'm impressed.
I'm really interested to listen and see how this flows. Because on paper, I'm questioning our choices.
I feel like there are sections. There are sections that are going to be really in the groove and good. And other parts that are going to feel like, what the hell just happened?
I don't know what it says that I only have one of my songs on side two. What does that say about me? I'm just like, no, all my choices deserve the first side.
That was a choice. Do you really only have one on side two?
Wow. Yep. Phoebe.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of loaded up side one. To be fair, you picked a lot of songs, Caleb, that were like kind of little joy bombs, little like rocky joy bombs.
Yeah.
More than I would have imagined from you.
Were you surprised by that, given that I'm apparently the
a little bit
Ebenezer of Christmas?
As he's famously known, Ebenezer.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Are there any songs that you really wanted to pick that you didn't get a chance? So I already mentioned Gunger and Lindsey Stirling. Or two of mine.
I had more songs that you will hate. I had Santa Tell Me by Ariana Grande. That was on the short list as well.
Excellent. It's funny because I feel like after talking about how overplayed Christmas music are, I just have overplayed Christmas songs left on my list. Like I really love Blue Christmas by Elvis, which is overplayed and in every like movie you've ever seen, but it's just got that great like you know, like that starts it. It's just so good.
Funny. I'm sad that I didn't pick anything that was kind of nostalgic. I grew up listening to Bing Crosby and Perry Como and Johnny Mathis. And I feel like they kind of did all the standards, you know, Mel Torme. I'm a little bit bummed that there's not a good, but Andy Williams is on there. So there, it's there. It's definitely like represented. Yeah. But yeah. I didn't pick anything from that kind of mix. I guess Perry Como's Do You Hear What I Hear would probably be my number one draft pick out of those remaining songs.
Yeah. In that vein, White Christmas, Bing Crosby. I had
Sleigh Ride, Ella Fitzgerald.
Was this a fun activity? Should we do this again?
I will say that after our conversation about Christmas music and my begrudging approach to doing yet another podcast about Christmas music, I am surprised by how many of these songs I like. Like, you reminded me of a lot of Christmas music that I like. So
this is the end of the Scrooge story. This is the end of the Scrooge story.
Exactly. All it took.
This is Caleb running down the street saying, "Merry Christmas, you old building alone."
Giving away ducks. And
you chickens. There. What day is it? You there. Oh, what day goodness. Does this podcast come out?
This is great. Hannah, thanks so much for joining us for this first Let's Make a Mixtape and for celebrating Christmas with us a little bit. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out this week. Remember to share this. Sharing it really helps us. Telling your friends about the podcast really helps us. As we kind of build an audience here in our first year. This is our 27th episode. Pretty cool. And I hope you all have a Merry Christmas. We'll be back next week with some picks for our albums of the year. It's a big one for us. I've been looking forward to this since we first started this podcast. I don't know, Caleb, is this project making you make a top 10? Is this stressful for you at all?
Yeah, I'm definitely in the throes of the revisiting all the albums I feel like I didn't spend enough time with the entire year / trying to discover like all the ones I was supposed to have listened to and didn't. So super fun. Also, a lot of frantic music listening too, but in a good way.
Yep, same. All right, we'll see you next week.